Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome in to this edition of Be Schaefer Daily Live. Brendan Schaefer here with you on this Sunday evening. We're talking Cardinals baseball, and we had some issues with the live stream for the folks that are joining us on YouTube Live, so appreciate you guys for sticking with me and for being out there, but now excited to go ahead and get into it. So get the comments in. The quickest way to be eligible to comment is to simply subscribe to the YouTube channel. YouTube.com/@BSchaefer12 is where you find us. And we're doing Cardinals content pretty much every day all season long. Today is the 28th of April, and I don't think there's been a day that I haven't posted to YouTube so far this regular season, which, you know, it's not to say it's quality content. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. This time, maybe it is. But I've been trying to do it every single day, and so far, so good. Now we're going to get into a little bit of a live stream, though, because people sometimes enjoy that kind of thing. So get the comments in. Biz is in the house. TJ's in the house. Michael, Jeff, Mason, what's going on, everybody? Let's talk about this Cardinals game from Sunday afternoon. I've got a few topics, and then I'm just going to use the comments for the most part. Chime in on what you guys are talking about from this Cardinals game. That's the way I like to do these live streams. But I did put a video up that was about 20 minutes long earlier on Sunday evening to kind of get into the meat and potatoes of this game. But of course, we'll do it again here after I take a quick sip of water. All right, let's rock and roll. Let's talk about this game. Cardinals didn't score. I put up the title to the last video and said this one key stat explains why the Cardinals didn't win on Sunday. And that key stat was 1-for-12 with runners in scoring position. Cardinals didn't get it done offensively today. I know they had a lead going into the bottom of the 11th inning. I completely realize that. That being said, that's not enough. That's not enough to say that they did their job offensively. 1-for-12 with runners in scoring position. We'll talk about the base running a little bit because I know there were a couple of mistakes made. One mistake made for sure was the one with Wilson Contreras where he basically just runs them out of the inning. Didn't realize how many outs there were. That was a mistake. You guys know the play I'm talking about. If there was another base running mistake besides the one attributed to Brendan Donovan, let me know what that one would be. Because honestly, I think the Brendan Donovan thing is explainable based on the way the Cardinals like to do things. This is not anything new. You can disagree with the coaching element of this, but it's honestly worked out to their benefit more times than not. And I'm going to pull it up from Jeff Jones, who covers the Cardinals for Belleville News Democrat. And I know he was in New York this weekend from talking to him. And on Sunday, he had some good tweets talking about some of the conversation that took place post-game. He also had a couple of things we'll reference as it pertains to Matt Liberatore and the pitches he threw in the 11th, giving up a hit to Bader, and then obviously the walk-off home run to Mark Vientos. We'll talk about those moments because I already saw in the YouTube comment section there was a little bit of scuttlebutt about that. But let's get right to the base running since it was top of mind for me. Let me know, too, in the comments, did you guys think the base running was a particular problem? Because on the first video I posted, I had a lot of people talking about the base running. I mentioned it in passing, but I didn't, you know, I don't know if I necessarily gave it its full due, but I also don't know if it was as big of a thing as it was being made out to be. In the 11th, Michael Ciani is the runner on second base, the ghost runner, the Manfred man, if you will. And it's a base hit by Brendan Donovan to right. This is from Jeff Jones. Siani said that he had to freeze to make sure the ball got through on Donovan's hit. And then, as Brendan Donovan explained, once the runner freezes, right, he's in the left-handed batter's box. He hits it to the right side. He sees in his field of vision Siani make an initial, he takes a beat. He pauses to make sure that ball gets through so he doesn't get a great jump off of second base because it was, I believe, between the hole between first and second baseman, and you got to make sure that ball isn't going to put you in no man's land where you get thrown out at third base if you take off on contact. So he freezes, and then Donovan notices it, and he said after the game, this was from Jeff Jones, who reporting that Donovan actually said, once that runner freezes, in Donovan's view, it is his job to flash in front of the first baseman, force the cutoff of the throw, because the first baseman sees him coming across towards second. First baseman cuts the throw, throws to second, gets him in the rundown, which they did. But that guarantees the run. I can't remember if there were two outs in the moment or not, but either way, if there was, he'd have to stay in the rundown long enough for Siani to cross home plate, which I think would have been pretty much understood. But Donovan gets into the rundown essentially on purpose. It was not something that was considered a base running mistake because it was done by design. And we've seen a number of times the Cardinals do this to make sure they score. Now, you could make the claim that in that particular moment, it's not as effective or efficient of a play because you know that in the bottom of the 11th inning, the Mets are going to get a ghost runner too. They're going to get that Manfred man as well. So to go up by one is almost not enough because if there's a guy in scoring position to begin an inning, most MLB teams, and I know that's the way every extra inning game ends is by somebody not getting that job done, but you got to be able to put that across. So if I'm the Cardinals, I'm almost thinking, yeah, they're probably going to get one in the bottom of the 11th, especially when we don't have a bullpen that's very active and ready to roll. So there's nobody coming in for Libertor. It's going to be Libby's inning. Maybe you could make the case that in that spot, you treat it a little bit differently because of the ghost runner. But if you're Brendan Donovan in that moment, I don't have any problem necessarily with him sort of enacting the play that the Cardinals typically do. So to me, base running, not as big of a story. Bullpen was not a problem in this game. I understand Matt Libertor gave up the game-winning home run in the 11th inning, and he is a member of the bullpen. The Cardinal bullpen, please hear me when I say this, was fantastic in the game on Sunday. They were remarkable, way above whatever the expectation could have been. Lance Lynn gets run out of this game in the sixth inning, and the sorrow of it is, the real shame is that he was efficient until he started to have some trouble with effectiveness. Gives up the homer to Lindor, and then puts a couple more base runners on. And at that point, Ollie Marmol, who a lot of folks, Cardinal Nation, don't love, I would say managed this game really effectively. He said, look, Lynn is depleted in his energy and his effectiveness right now. Ryan Fernandez, you're up. And he does a marvelous job. Three strikeouts over two scoreless innings, doesn't give up a hit or a walk or a nothing. And Ryan Fernandez gets you through the sixth and the seventh. Gio comes out for the eighth. He walks a couple guys. He's struggling. We get it. But he's not up in the circle of trust. They used multiple guys before they used Gio. Because you talk about the three relievers that had to be used on Saturday, which going back to Saturday matters because had Arenado maybe not made the error or Sonny not allowed that inning to unfold on him the way it did in the fifth, you maybe don't have to go JoJo, Kittredge, Helsley for the second day in a row. They did. And as a result, those guys were not available on Sunday. It happens, so what's the answer in the bullpen? How do you go about holding a late lead? Well, the answer is Fernandez, Gio, and then when Gio doesn't perform, Libby, it's you. And they end up going to Matt Libertor, and he does a fine job. Matthew Libertor gets nine outs before anything really happens to him in this game. And he's one strike away from being the conquering hero. I mean, he would have been hailed as the savior had Matthew Libertor found a way to get Harrison Bader out. But he hasn't thrown for 10 outs in quite a while. He started as a starting pitcher this spring in Jupiter, but that's not been... We're a month into the season, ladies and gentlemen. Matthew Libertor was asked to do something that... It's not the manager's fault that he asked him to do it. He kind of had to. Did you want John King, Nick Robertson? Like, who was coming in for that 11th inning if it wasn't going to be just ride it out with Libby? those are the sorts of things that had to be answered and had to be thought about. As of Saturday night, Ole Marmol, I think, was already thinking, all right, what do we do if we get into a spot where it's tight and late? Who comes in? Who is in the circle of trust now, almost by necessity? Fernandez was a good answer, and he came through. Gio didn't quite get his full job done, so you ask even more of Libby than you would have, and Libby was great until a couple of mistakes happened there in the 11th inning. I'll read this from Jeff Jones as well. Matthew Liberatore said the game-tying single by Bader was a missed spot. He missed his location. The 0-1 was the same pitch, but with a couple inches higher, and Bader fouled it off. That was the chase location he wanted, but it came down in the zone on 0-2, and it ended up being the base hit to center. And then with Vientos, he said same thing, wanted the fastball up and away, out of the zone. Instead, it was a little too close to the corner, and Vientos was obviously able to extend through the pitch and hit it over the glove of Michael Ciani by just a matter of 2 feet, whatever it was, 18 inches the Cardinals were from being able to at least extend the game at that point. And so Libby gave it up. He made two mistakes late that the Cardinals didn't have the margin for error to give him to make those mistakes. But does that mean Matthew Liberatore cost the Cardinals the game? No, I would almost say Arenado with an error yesterday had just as much to do with it because it meant that you didn't have a Kittredge. You couldn't use a Helsley or a JoJo Romero in that spot this afternoon. Again, it's not necessarily to pile on Arenado even more and say, see, it was his fault, but it's to illustrate the point that these moments add up over a season. And Arenado is a Gold Glove caliber player. He may not win it this year because I know he didn't win it last year. And sometimes once a streak ends, that's sort of the opening, the window of opportunity that the new guy needs. Cabrian Hayes ended up winning it last year at third base. That's the window, and maybe your window doesn't open back up. But Arenado is still a Gold Glove caliber third baseman. The double play that he made today by stepping on the bag and then firing to first in time, I think Bader was even the runner for that play, was unbelievable. He is still doing some marvelous things defensively, but he made an error on Saturday, and it was very innocuous at the time to lead off the fifth inning for the Mets. It ended up being pretty consequential because Sonny Gray needed that out to be able to make sure that the fifth did not spiral on him in Saturday's game. It spiraled to the extent that the Mets came up with four runs. Big polar bear dude hit the homer, Pete Alonso. A hilarious line from Chip today, who said that he's put 8 balls in the hospital this year, which means 8 home runs, because that was the whole thing from Pete Alonso in his run-in with Stubby Clapp a couple years ago. Chip Carey does a marvelous job. But these are the little moments that add up during a season. And so that's what I kind of wanted to illustrate with my video earlier today. I said my piece on that. I'm going to reiterate some of it here as I have, but that was kind of what I wanted to get into. The key is the 1-for-12 with Risp, and you score 2 runs in 11 innings. That's not enough, and that's not the fault of Arenado's error yesterday or Sonny giving up a homer yesterday or needing to use those relievers on Saturday or Matthew Liberatore and what happened with him in the 11th. If you score more runs, the 11th never comes to fruition. It's not a thing. And the Cardinals, if they wanted to get the sweep, I think needed to do that. Sweeps are hard. I haven't been able to tell you yet that sweeps aren't that hard for anything the Cardinals have done. I did tell you that sweeps weren't that hard if you sweep the Cardinals because Milwaukee did that. So I tweeted that out. But that's what happened today, folks. Is it something you're worried about as a Cardinals fan? Let me know in the comments, how upset are you about this one? Because again, it is another series win, which is a positive. But I understand too that, man, it would be nice to get a sweep because this is a Cardinal team, 2 games below 500 still, because they haven't been able to rattle off those wins consecutively. They snapped the 3-game winning streak with the loss today. Could have been 4, and then could have been a sweep. And those are really how you pile them up, right? 14-14 would have been the record. Instead, they're back to down 2 games on a 500 record. So that's the concern there. Get the likes up on the video. We've got 16. What's that? Reggie Sanders, Ray Lankford. Let's get it up. Let's get those likes up to 25, shall we? I'm going to take a sip of water, and we're going to get right into the comments now, because I see you guys have been saying some interesting stuff in there. All right. Peter says, very disappointing game to see. Will we ever get a sweep? Hey, sweeps are hard. Apparently, the adage is an adage for a reason. I guess they're hard. Allison, glad to be here. Wish it was under better conditions, like a win. I'm looking forward to the take on the weekend. Look, the weekend was good. And then this, you go into Detroit and try and figure it out and take another series. That's the main thing. You gotta try to continue to stack these series. If the Cardinals are not going to be able to get sweeps, 2 out of 3 is still pretty good. It's just going to take them a while if they keep going 2 out of 3. Let's say they go 2 out of 3 for the next 5 series. Okay, that's good. What are you, 5 or 10 and 5 over that stretch? But what if suddenly you mix in a singular series loss and not even a sweep, but they go 1 for 3 in one of those series? Then you're suddenly, 9 and 6? And it's like, well, you've taken 2 weeks to barely put a dent into the divisional deficit. That's what's really tough. They could win 4 of their next 5 series after winning a series this weekend, after winning the Arizona series, and they still would be barely above, they'd be a game above 500 at that point. And that's assuming, I'm not looking at the schedule, so that's assuming that they don't have any 4-game series coming up. I mean, that's where it does get very, very difficult to put yourself into a hole as a team, because it's very difficult to get out of it once you're in it, as last year's team certainly learned. Why not Robertson to start the 11th? That's what Mark is asking. Libertor did his part. No reason to ask him for more than 6 outs as a reliever. Mark, I get it, but I tell you what, Mark, if Robertson comes in and gives up the game, people are complaining. Well, why in the world would you give Nick Robertson? What's he ever done in the big leagues? I promise you it would have been 6 of 1, half dozen of the other. People would have complained. I liked Libertor going out for that moment. It just, the bucket was full. Sometimes you keep pouring water into your bucket because you're trying to make sure that your boat doesn't sink. You've got a leak in the bottom of the boat. Using JoJo, Kittredge, and Helsley for 2 days on Friday and Saturday in winning efforts, so it's okay to do it, but that was the leak in the Cardinals' boat today, especially it was the offense kind of driving the hole and making it bigger because of their inability to do anything productive. You score 2 runs, they don't get credit for that. They needed to have been better. They are the reason the Cardinals lost the game on Sunday. 1 for 12 with Risp does not get it done. And you had familiarity with Jose Quintana. I get it, he's a good pitcher. You got to do more, especially when you start out with a 26-pitch inning against him. The way they just sort of rolled over and were swinging and meekly flying out, grounding out on the first pitch or second pitch later on, I mean, he ended up having just a cruising effort in innings 2, 3, and 4 where pitch count was suddenly no longer a concern. They had an opportunity to build on what they did in the first. They didn't do it. This was a failure by the Cardinal offense, but guess what? You play 162 of these. It's not the end of the world to lose a game, and they're going to have days like this in the future. They just need to be fewer and far between if the Cardinals are going to be taken seriously as a contender. The offense is the group that has to pick up the slack. The pitching has done its job. The defense has been superb. Brendan Donovan was unbelievable in left field today. He was just incredible. The defense is... Arenado had the double play. The defense is doing its job. The pitching is certainly doing its job. Offense, it's up to that group. It's up to the offense to hit. If they don't, they won't, and they won't win. If they do, like we've seen it at times, you win that game 7-4 with Sonny pitching. Offense, that's what you got to have. Not every day do you have to score 7, but you understand 2 over 11 innings is not going to cut it. You're going to lose more times than you're going to win if that's the output. And so that's who I would focus on if I'm trying to lay blame at the feet of something on Sunday. It's the offense. It's the offense not coming through when it's supposed to be the strength of this team. Only 4 hits in 11 innings is not going to cut it. Donovan, Contreras, Nootbaar, and Mason Winn, they get hits. Bad, you know, Arenado 0 for 5. Goldie did reach on a walk, but he's 0 for. Herrera 0 for. We can talk about Burleson pitch hitting for Herrera and then Paez coming in. I had a guy on Twitter get mad at me for that and say that that's why they lost. It's on Ollie Marmol, and I kind of was derogative toward him because it was a ridiculous comment. But he ended up deleting his tweets because he was wrong and I was right. But anyway, that's not important here. If you want to hear about that, I'll get into it. But there's much more to get into, such as your comments, which I will dive back into right now. Allison asking for thoughts on the bullpen management this weekend. It was impeccably good. It was incredible. Ollie Marmol had an awesome weekend. And I do think pinch hitting Burleson in that spot for Herrera against Edwin Diaz is a fine move too, because you're probably not getting anything done there anyway. But when you get into the ninth inning with Harrison Bader leading off for New York, you don't necessarily want Herrera behind the plate anyway. So I think they would have defensively subbed out Herrera for Páez regardless, and you have a lefty against Diaz, and Burleson's been taking some good swings. That might be your best chance to win the game, is to just have him run into one, and then you can look at it and say, get your best guy behind the plate in the bottom of the ninth so that you don't have to worry about giving up an extra 90 feet, and knowing that when you get into extra innings, there's going to be a guy on second base anyway for the opposing team. So you certainly don't want to worry about having a lesser defensive catcher. And I'm not trying to rip on Ivan Herrera when I say these things. It's just the statistics of it. He's 0-for still when trying to throw out base runners defensively, or base stealers, I should say. I don't know if that number is exactly 0-for 13, 0-for 14, what it is, but it hasn't been strong. And then you think about the other day, there was a couple of wild pitches that were charged, but those were pitches that he probably should have blocked. So I would say his plate blocking and his protection of the starting pitcher or the relief corps at that point has been a little bit lacking. Páez comes in for defense anyway, so I feel like Ollie managed that situation well and the bullpen well. Look, they won the first two games because Ollie pressed the button that says auto win when you take a lead into the seventh. You know, seventh, eighth, ninth, those guys come in, it's done. You can't pitch them every day, though. They're already on pace for like 80, 90 appearances in the season, a couple of them. It's just not sustainable. It's just not going to be. So at some point, you have to rely on somebody else. But if you can take a chance to, by 6 p.m. on a Saturday afternoon, win a weekend series on the road, you do that. So he used the guys that he needed to on Saturday to get the win because of what happened in the middle innings where Arenado made the error, Sonny Gray walked a guy, gives up a couple of hits in the home run, and suddenly you're going, all right, we got to make sure this game doesn't get away from us because the offense actually did its job on Saturday. And they even should be credited with the I think it was Newt Barr had an RBI later to extend it from a 6-4 game to a 7-4 game. So they did everything you could have wanted. Ollie Marmol managed a great bullpen. Ryan Fernandez coming in and doing what he did. Look, I said on B-Shape Daily last night he was going to have to pitch. I said, look, if it's a close game, Fernandez is going to be in there. Gallegos is going to be in there. And then you got to figure it out. And Liberatore was the answer to the question of how do you figure it out. And they asked him to get 10 outs and he could only get 9. They came up short because you needed somebody to be Herculean, or maybe multiple guys in the bullpen today to be Herculean, when they know in their hearts their options 4, 5, and 6 out of the Cardinal bullpen. Your three studs pitched the first two games. The three guys that pitched today are 4, 5, and 6. And John King and Nick Robertson are the other two. They had what they had, and they needed somebody to get a clutch hit today. They didn't get the hit, and that's why they lose. The bullpen did everything you could have hoped. Ollie Marmol had a great weekend. You might not like hearing that as Cardinal fans, but it's just a fact. He did. He managed the bullpen really well. Rich, what's going on? Connor, the Cardinals have not won a series against the Tigers since 09. Feel like they've got a decent shot to make it happen since they will miss Tarik Skubal. The cat is nasty. Yeah, Skubal is a great pitcher. He's got some good stuff and really has not even maybe ascended to his full ability, but we're starting to see it from him this year. 1.7 ERA. Yeah, they are going to see Jack Flaherty, I think, on Tuesday, so get ready for that. We did get to 25 likes. Let's make it 30. Make it 31 for Lance Lynn, why don't we? Dominic, what's going on? Michael says that Kenta is tied for the fourth most homers given up so far this season. Hopefully add on to that tomorrow. I guess that means Kenta Maeda will be opposing the Cardinals. I have not checked into his stats so far this year, but I'll give it a look as I think he is slated to go for the Tigers on Monday. Yeah, his numbers, he's got a 5.96 ERA, and yeah, the Cardinals should be able to jump on him, but I kind of thought there would be opportunities like Tommy Henry, that game against Arizona, I thought the Cardinals would jump on him, and they really didn't. So I never try to get too ahead of myself. Steven Matz versus Kenta Maeda, man, I would say probably who's got the edge in that one? Who's got the advantage there? It's maybe a toss-up because Matz has really been struggling his last couple. But wouldn't this be a time for Matz to give you like 6 innings and a run and sort of take the stage? That would be nice to see. But Kent has given up some homers, as Michael mentioned, so can the Cardinals take him deep? We'll see. Aaron, what's going on, man? Appreciate you being here. Dominic, I mentioned Mariposa. What's going on? Porter, is this your first stream with T-Mobile Internet? No, I have been streaming with T-Mobile Internet for close to a year, probably. I'd have to go back and check. But when I had Spectrum, it wasn't working very well. I kept getting knocked off. And tonight was the first time I had any issues. But I think I know why it was. And it shouldn't have been the reason, but knowing that it happened the way that it did, I won't change. I'll go back to exactly what I'm doing now, and I think we'll be good to go for the future. However, if MLB The Show keeps not letting me play online ranked games or Battle Royale or whatever, I just got the game within the last couple days, and today I had an issue. It wouldn't let me play. It was kept saying challenge failed, and I Google it, and I go, oh, crap. Apparently, that's a thing. T-Mobile Internet does not jibe with MLB The Show. So I reset my router, which also may have caused us issues here. But if that doesn't work out, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. Because I have a whole thought of doing some streaming on MLB The Show. I'd have to go back to Spectrum, which hurts me on this front because they never really cooperated. So it's kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. I wish the internet was cheaper. I'd get both services and just say, screw it. Use one for the show, use the other one for here. Anyway. Michael, what's going on? Alex, when do we get a switch-hitting center fielder back? Oh, I hear you're asking about either Tommy Edman or Dylan Carlson, and Carlson is the one that you're going to get back first, which is not a surprise because I feel like we've been saying anything the Cardinals get from Tommy Edman in like the first half of the season can be considered a bonus. Now, Tommy should return in May. I don't think that's too crazy to say, but I'm not putting a timetable on it until they tell me he's going out for a rehab. And even then, I might have some questions with the wrist that he's coming back from. But Dylan Carlson, here's from Jeff Jones as well. Workouts went well for him this weekend. Marmol said he will join Memphis for a rehab assignment either Tuesday or Wednesday, which means maybe by the following Monday you have him back. I think it'll be a little bit of a lengthy assignment, 2, 3, 4 games. But I think you get Dylan Carlson back probably by this time next Sunday night, if I'm not mistaken, if things go well, which would be huge. It would be huge because as much as I think Michael Ciani has done a really nice job, and he got the bunt down today to get the Cardinals one of their two runs, which, my goodness, I mean, the fact that you're having to resort to just bunting to make it happen. I mean, the guy, Michael Ciani, is slugging 177 before today, you know, 427 OPS. After today, it's a 395 OPS because he went over, did have the RBI, though, as we mentioned. I love the defense he brings. I can also see the point that you can't have a literal zero in your lineup, which again, he wasn't today because when you drive in the run with the bunt the way that he did, and then he stole second base, you know, maybe they could have capitalized on that in a different lifetime, but it didn't happen. Ciani's done his job, and I think he actually serves a really nice purpose off the bench. I'd like to see him stay on the roster until Edmund gets back, if not even longer, because I do think there is utility to what he brings as a late inning defensive sub or a guy that, like, if you come off the bench to strictly bunt, he might be one of the few guys in Major League Baseball that actually makes sense to do it with, because he has been just so lethal with the bunt. It's a skill and he's got it. He's very good with it. So as much as I like Ciani, I think he's better served as a fourth outfielder, late inning defensive replacement for this team. Dylan Carlson is not going to slug 170. Right? Like, whatever his faults may be, he's going to get you close to league average offensive production. You get league average out of the 9-hole for the Cardinals right now, and it changes the entire offense. They're losing a significant chunk of the percentage of whatever. It's 10%, right? If you have 9 guys, 9 times 11 is 99. So you're basically, if a number 9-hole hitter is a literal zero, you're losing 11% from your offense. Now, Ciani's not a literal zero, so let's say he's losing 10% because he's almost a zero with the numbers that he's put up. That's going to make a difference. Even if Carlson struggles, his version of struggling is going to be to OPS, you know, 550. It's not going to be 420 or 395. So I do think Ciani would be better served in a bench role, utility, come off and bunt, come in for defense. Carlson back within a week is great news for an offense that has been... it's struggling. I mean, it really is. Coughing up a storm here. The allergies keep getting me. They nicked me. They more than nicked me. All right. I may need to cough one more time. Aaron says he's been playing The Show 23 with T-Mobile Internet but 24 is having issues. Yep, it is. Give me 1 second, guys. All right, bounce it back. Bounce it back. Here we go. Jeff said that Spectrum is the worst. Well, it ain't good. Man, I was feeling good about myself when I got T-Mobile last year, but now it's screwing me on MLB The Show. I haven't had The Show since 2021 because I got it in 2020. I played a ton because I'm a baseball writer and there was no baseball happening. So go figure. That was actually, I started B-Shafe Daily like February of that year of 2020. I went to spring training like January, February, started doing content, and then the world shut down and I was like, how do I keep this going? So I kind of didn't, but I picked it back up when baseball started. And now here we are, you know, 4 years later, and I'm doing every single day stuff on YouTube. By the way, that red button in the bottom right-hand corner, hit that if you haven't yet, because it'll subscribe you to the channel, which I would appreciate. And then you can also join the live chat when we do these lives. Zachary says, what do you think about the bullpen? Seems like we have three guys and then no one else to finish games. Look, I don't think that's true. I think you can look. The ERA for Ryan Fernandez, Zach, is 2.45 after today. You know, that's a guy that I think you can have some faith in. He's in the circle of trust now, and rightfully so. Libby's got a 3.1 ERA and gave up two earned runs today. Still has only a 3.1. So that's five. Keenan Middleton, if he comes back within the month of May, that's six. We'll see about Riley O'Brien. I think this bullpen's actually in a really good spot. And then you got to figure out those last two spots. John King and Nick Robertson are either going to have to prove something or, you know, be replaced at some point with somebody more reliable. But I honestly think the bullpen's in a really good spot. Stubby Clapp is 2-0 versus Pete Alonso. That's according to Porter. Yeah, Stubby kind of took it to him. And it inspired some very, very entertaining quotes back when that happened. Dominic says he's going to test if I'm cursed tomorrow. Decided he's going to Detroit for the game because he's only an hour and a half away. 0-2 during games he's been to, hoping to avoid 0-3. Dominic, you better report back to the channel. You better report back. Speaking of reporting back to the channel, this is something you can put in the live chat right now, or you can do it on any YouTube video that I have on my channel. I'm going to start a YouTube membership. I got this from Spencer. He said, hey, you should do a membership because he heard me talking about how on Spotify, I can now allow people to listen to B-Shafe Daily without advertisements coming up at all. You know, on YouTube, they'll advertise however often you got to click skip or heck, you watch them because you really want me to make money, whatever. No, I honestly have no idea if skipping them has anything to do with it. But on Spotify, it's the same thing. There are ads every, you know, 10, 15 minutes, whatever it is. And it's how I make a little bit of money from doing these podcasts. But there's now a $5 option per month membership on Spotify, where if you don't want to ever have to deal with another ad again, and you say, look, I listen to this kid every day, I'm going to support his podcast, $5 a month, you will never have to worry about an ad on Spotify. You get your own special stream of the podcast. But because Spencer said, look, I heard you talking about that, can you do that for YouTube? I don't use Spotify. There are ways that I can set up this membership to give you guys perks, different things that would interest you. What would be worth it to join a membership to this channel on YouTube for $5 a month? You go, if you did that, I might consider it, because you'll get a special badge and you'll get special priority in the live chat. Every like once a month, you can do a special free comment without doing a super chat and it'll show up for me and everything like that. But what would be worth it where you go, I don't really, you know, why would I spend money on this? It's weird. But if you were going to do it, what would be the reason to join the membership and you get a badge and everything? But is there something on top of that, that if I do roll this out, you'd say, I would do it for this? Let me know. You can DM me on Twitter. You can whatever. I'm curious for that. I figured no better time than now, because the people watching these live streams are about as, you know, big of fans of this kind of content as I'm going to find. So I might as well mention it here. So appreciate you guys for being here. Michael wants to know if I've heard about the Cardinals signing another free agent outfielder. Frankly, I mean, it's late April. I don't know who's even left on the market, but no, they're not going to do that because they're getting their outfielders back healthy. Carlson's coming back soon. You know, Edmund hopefully behind him. That's not going to be part of it, I don't think, Michael. Aaron says, well, Mariposa said Fernandez looked great today, and he did. Aaron mentioned, I got to watch most of the game. Felt like the Cardinals did get some contact against Quintana. Couldn't capitalize. Obviously, the way it shook out was classic Cardinals. Yeah, this sucked, man. because they had the, think about the momentum and the conversation we'd be having right now about, hey, back to 500, you play a Tigers team that maybe you can get over the hump against. Let me know too in the comments, is Flaherty going to shove or do you think the Cardinals will get to him? Because that is going to be a very polarizing game, if I do say so myself. That's going to be interesting. But yeah, you had a chance to get back to 500 in a way that's like, you could have said, look, we did it without the top relievers. You can't touch us. Of course, it didn't end up being the case. Wasn't the bullpen's fault. It was the offense. But that would have really been some bragging rights and like a momentum shift to where you could look at this bullpen and go, what is there anything they can't do if they're able to do this? Obviously, it didn't work out that way, but it was very close to doing so. Gilkey, TJ wants to know, why do we throw Bader an 0-2 fastball there? And I did read about that earlier, so I don't know if you caught that, TJ, but basically it was supposed to be up and out of the zone, a chase pitch that if Bader doesn't swing at it, ultimately you end up just going, all right, make your next pitch. Maybe that sets up something low and away, whatever. He just caught too much of the zone with it. It was a missed pitch by Libby, and he said so to Jeff Jones after the game. So it sucks, but that's what happened. Cardinals are going to trade Trout. They're going to swap Siani with him. Yeah, I don't think so, Biz. I don't think the Angels are going to be really knocking on the door for that one necessarily. But hey, you never know. No, I think we do in this case. I think we do in this case, no. Mariposa wanted that 0-2 fastball to Bader to be breaking ball below the zone. Well, I think if it's a fastball up, you guys know Bader is susceptible to breaking balls. I've heard enough behind the scenes commentary in my career to know Bader not fond. He once had a rant after a game. I think this was in Atlanta. I don't think I've told this story. I won't tell like all the details, but he once caught wind of a rant that happened in the clubhouse after, where he basically was to teammates chastising the opposing pitcher who had struck him out on a breaking ball for not throwing him a fastball during the at-bat and saying he was maybe lesser of a man for not being willing to throw the fastball. And I believe Adam Wainwright was within earshot, and I was told that Wainwright's face was like, hey, buddy, like, come on now. Of course, Waino being the Captain Curveball. But anyway, yeah, I get it. Maybe he wanted to set up the breaking ball, but it was a mistake pitch, right? It wasn't supposed to be in the strike zone. But I hear you on that, Mason. I hear you. I hear everybody who's saying Mariposa, you know, didn't like the pitch. Neither did Libby, is the reality of that one. Jeff, what's going on? Thank you for saying you appreciate it, whatever it is that was being discussed. 29th for homers hit. Do not give up your hopes. I mean, shoot, when is that going to change, though? They got to hit more than the homers they've hit. Zach likes Fernandez, and I do too. And I like that he's like an exciting kid, happy to be around. Corey Miller is a reporter for Channel 5, KSDK in St. Louis, and he was showing me on opening day or like early in the season, I forget which day, but it was talking, he had talked to Ryan Fernandez, and Fernandez basically, I think, cussed on camera because he was like, holy blank, I just did that. I just pitched in a major league game, and I got the outs and everything. He was just so excited to have done it that he goes, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to cuss. And Corey said, it's all good, dude. We're not live. It's okay. Like, just the fact that it's not to say that there are young guys who don't just feel blessed to be in the spot that they're in, but you can tell with Ryan Fernandez, it's just like genuine that he's just like thrilled to be in this spot. But you could see the swagger that he had today on the mound. Like, he's quickly gotten over any butterflies or any notion of like, oh, wow, I can't believe I'm here. He's just going out and doing work. I was super impressed with Ryan Fernandez today. Again, I get that they didn't win the game, but there are some things you can take away from today's game and go, that's pretty notable. Jared says, can't wait for Middleton to be back. When that happens, maybe we can have two really solid groups. And you can mix and match, right? Like, you don't need to use the same three guys every day. But right now, it was just a case of getting that win, making sure you had locked down on Friday, locked down on Saturday. You have to manage it a little bit more like it's a playoff game, playoff series, when you've got a sub-500 record and you're in last place in the division. Ollie Marmol has his finger on the pulse of what needs to be done. I understand that people don't maybe like him. I think they'll like him a lot more if and when the Cardinals start winning. That's truly all it takes. But for now, I get it, you know. And so there's gonna be a microscope on him, but manage it well. And yeah, if you had a guy like Middleton who's got experience, that can allow you to mix and match a little bit more. So the same three guys don't have to be 7, 8, 9 when you have a 1 or 2 run lead. They can mix it up a little bit. So maybe you hold back a Kittredge for the next day, or you hold back a Helsley, whatever it could be. That could end up making a difference in the long run. 30 likes, we can get it to 40. I believe in us. They should have scored a few more runs. Jeff P. is right about that. Carlson also might be back in the minors this week. Yep, talked about that, Jared, and it's a big deal. It's a big deal because I think Siani has a role, but I don't think it's as a starter just because of the offense, right? But he can have a role defensively and as a replacement late in games, I believe. Jeff, reiterating my point that Donovan's base running thing was not a mistake. Aaron reiterating it did look intentional. It was, as I mentioned earlier. And I don't know that Siani would have been hosed, Aaron, but I also think like it's not for Donovan to try and discern that in the moment. They have a play that they put on, and Donovan executed that play. Yeah, Mariposa argues Donnie's was to keep the throw. It was. It was intentional. We have confirmation of that. So I'm glad that y'all are a little bit more on the base running than some of my comments earlier, understanding why they did what they did. Yeah, Zach mentions, don't forget to like the stream. Zachary is my dog. That's my dude out there in these live chat streets. Alex said in the 10th, the runner on third, less than 2 outs. You got to find a way to get him home. Should not have made it to the 11th. Yeah, ideally, that's right, Alex. That's right, in an ideal world. But look, 1 for 12 with Risp, that kind of goes to explain their day, doesn't it? Jared agrees, base running was fine. Rather take the run for the out, and they did. I do wonder if maybe because you know there's a man-for-man coming for the other side, if it's different. But I generally think that that's right. Because if it's even questionable at home plate, you get the run. Because he's already going. Like, he's committed. Siani is going, so you might as well make sure he scores. Jared has faith still in John King to be good again. Yeah, he was good last year. His stuff spring training was rough for him, and then the vision of him giving up the homer and losing that game in LA is kind of still in people's minds. Gallegos didn't look well, according to Mariposa, bouncing pitches. He's off a little bit right now, and I'm not exactly sure how to put my finger on it for Gio, but, you know, I still think there is room for him to be able to bounce it back. He's got a 5 ERA now, but again, if he's your sixth best option, knowing the pedigree that he has brought in previous years, as number six, it's not like you're relying on him to be to be your eighth inning man, you know? It's not even close to that. So that ends up being, I think, a pretty notable differential. I was going to check on, was asked about the bullpen for Memphis. I tried to look. I can't pull it up live here. So I'll try to get into that, though, Zach, at some point later on, if there's anybody maybe coming down the pike that we should be paying attention to bullpen-wise. Jared says, as much as I don't like it, our manager has been doing a good job overall. A little slow online to lineup changes, but still good overall. Yeah, I think all he's done a nice job. I'm glad that there are some people who say, look, I get it. It's easy to blame the manager after every game, but at some point, you can look at it and say, maybe he's actually not doing that bad of a job. Jeff's saying about the Memphis bullpen, not really anything going on there, but the Springfield pen, not too bad. Yeah, Aaron, as far as like who you'd call up to trust instead of innings eaters, they don't really have innings eaters in the bullpen right now in St. Louis. It's just John King and Robertson are a little newer, and so I don't know that people trust them too much. And understandably so, right? Like, it took Ryan Fernandez a month to be able to have the opportunity like he did today for Ollie to say, look, let's go with it. Let's give this kid a shot. And he came through. He's in the circle now. There's no doubt about it. Ollie likes this kid. I'm telling you. And he's right to do so. Quinn needs to be promoted. Tink needs to be promoted. Certainly Quinn Matthews does, because he's 23, I think, pitching at Palm Beach. That's low A baseball. Put him up to high A. He had 13 strikeouts, did Quinn Matthews. Cardinals drafted him, and I believe it was the third or fourth round this past summer, and they didn't pitch in the rest of the year last year. He had 156 pitches in a game against Stanford in the college playoffs, did Quinn Matthews. And so I think the Cardinals said, all right, let's just give this guy the rest of the season off after they drafted him. I may be wrong about that. If there was an injury, somebody can tell me that that's why they did it. But I could see them just going, he's pitched plenty. He had 124 innings in a college season, which is kind of bonkers from Quinn Matthews. So it's not like Tin Cans where the Cardinals are like, hey, let's get his innings up. Let's see what he's made of. I think they know that Matthews can handle that workload. It's just going to be a matter of how quickly can they get him toward the real levels of the minors, like the upper levels, to be able to discern how close he is to MLB ready. But age-wise, he pitched a bunch in college, and that's why he's like 23 years old. So Matthews should get to Peoria any minute now, would be my hope and honestly expectation. So we'll see you there. Jeff said they should be killing it with their team in Memphis, but they aren't because of pitching. And he also mentions that it's true, no hits when it mattered today. Yep, 100%. Potential to trade for someone to help the bullpen? Let's wait till June or July to really get into trade stuff, because what we say tonight when we're in April, so nobody's actually, like 29 MLB teams that John Mozeliak can trade with are not ready to do that. Nobody really knows who's going to be available because they got to figure out if they suck or not. Like the team themselves. Are we buying? Are we selling? Are we sitting? Are we holding? What are we doing? You don't know that yet, so it's hard to say, yes, they're going to do this or that. But I would say, in general, the Cardinals will be willing, if they're in the mix, to add whatever is necessary in July, which is not to say they're going to just sell the farm to do it, but they'll be able to add pieces if they need to. But maybe the bullpen is 1-8 just humming by then. Probably not, because how often does that happen? But yeah, I think they'll be willing to add if they're in the mix. And if they're not, then maybe we have a different conversation like the one that Josh Jacobs and I had. He's from the Deal in the Cards pod. We're on YouTube. We just talked about hypothetical 2025. If this year goes wrong, what do they do? I think they retool. And that's going to involve a lot of different things that mean they probably won't be buying at the deadline. But we'll wait and see. Jeff says right now goes to show you how great the offense was when it was Albert, Edmonds, and Roland. Yeah, that was MV3. They had a nickname for a reason. They could do things in the clutch. They could do things in any moment in time. They were just Hall of Fame caliber hitters. Roland and Albert are, well, Roland's the only one of the three that's in right now. Albert will be first ballot. He'll be in so fast that I won't even be able to vote on Albert because I don't get a Hall of Fame vote until, shoot, like 2030, I guess, because I joined BBWAA 2020. And Jimmy did not get in, but he should have been on the ballot a lot longer than he was. They did win 2 of 3, though. That's good to say. Mason Wynn has looked amazing. Great play. Yeah, when I talked about the great defense, thank you, Mariposa, for this comment. When I talked about the great defense, I neglected to include Mason Wynn's. He was unbelievable today, defensively. Donovan was incredible. Arenado had a good day. Mason Wynn has been really, really good, man. He looks the part. He really does. Kevin says today was there for the taking. Pitchers shouldn't have even had to be as good as they were. Couldn't agree more. You can pin this on the offense. 1-for-12 with Risp. Got to be better than that. And Zachary saying the obvious, but we continue to reiterate, Goldie and Arenado have got a hit. That they are holding the team back with, you know, not being able to ascend to their levels right now. 0-for-8 today combined. And that hurts. And when those two hit, it does. It trickles down to everyone else because no one else has to be the best player on the team anymore. When those two guys are being themselves, it's imagine like 2022 when they were playoff team, and I know the Philly series went the way that it went, but you had two guys MVP candidates. One of them won it. The other one finished third in the vote. Imagine having some of the other talent like a Mason Wynn on that team or, you know, down the line, they've got talent. They're just not taking full advantage and they don't have the guys holding it together in the middle. Wilson Contreras. I mean, he's having a great season offensively. Siani is 100 times better defensively than... I'm not sure who that was referencing. Not than Victor Scott, I wouldn't think. But mention that a little bit lower down if that's what you guys were talking about. Aaron says people are going to bitch about it no matter what, and they are. They 100% are. Scott wants to know, okay, this was the question. Scott says, does Siani go down when Carlson returns? Is there a big difference there defensively? Hope the injury does not derail the good sprain that Carlson had offensively. Absolutely. You hope that Carlson can pick up right where he left off. Siani is better defensively in center than Dylan. I do think Dylan plays a good center. He just doesn't have the speed or he has very good instincts, in my opinion. the athleticism in terms of just like the pure speed is not in, and just the ability to like make a laying out catch and not worry that he's going to get hurt with it, which in fairness, when he ran into Jordan Walker, you know, we would have all been in the hospital for weeks if we collided with Jordan Walker. He's a big dude. So I'm not trying to rip Dylan for that. But Siani is the better defender and center to me because it's just more natural of just those abilities. The speed of it all is honestly it. However, no, Siani does not go down to me when Carlson returns. I think it would be Jose Fermin, right? You know, he's who came up with Victor Scott just to get him up here. Kind of a reward, but he's been on scholarship. He's not played. And he doesn't really need to play. If the Cardinals are going to continue to give that role to Brandon Crawford, you can probably, Siani would play much more of a valuable role than what Fermin would play because, well, they haven't given Fermin even a look. And they don't, how often do you need like a hot bat off the bench to take an AB? There's a DH now. There's no double switch. There's no, you just don't need that. The pitchers don't bat. So to me, Siani actually has more utility because you can always bring him in late in the game for defensive purposes. And to make a bunt or a pinch run, I want Siani to be on the team all year, to be honest with you. Might sound crazy, and if you get back to full health, it might not be possible or make sense because he's, you know, a poor man's Tommy Edman. But Siani, he does bring utility, and the bunting thing is no small part of that. Imagine you get into an October, like he's on a 26-man roster for the playoffs. You can bet your bottom dollar on that. Imagine just needing a bunt or a stolen base or something in a game in the playoffs. I want Siani on that team without question, without a doubt. And I've come around on him over the last year. Look, a year ago at this time, I was probably saying, and this is what you may not get with everybody that you see on YouTube, and I'm not even talking about Cardinals guys locally. I just mean like in this business, people are generally going to try and hide it when they get something wrong because it's embarrassing. I, at one point, was like, look, if you need a 40-man roster spot, why is Michael Siani around? Like, who's this guy? I didn't know. That was me not doing my research at the time because I wasn't too familiar with the kid. I'm saying Siani has a value to this organization, and I think the Cardinals did the right thing by keeping him around, not, you know, punting him off the bridge, as they say, from the 40-man roster. Look, they have all those first base slash left fielders on the 40-man. That's more of an area where I think you could afford to lose some guys than what Siani brings to the table. He does have a unique skill set, and it does carry value. So that's my mea culpa on Michael Siani, which I've been in on him for weeks, but I don't think I was last year, and I was wrong for that. Mariposa described it perfectly. Carlson makes great reads, but he's not as fast or athletic. I could not agree more with that description. That's a better way than I said it. One sentence to say it all. Well done. DC can play center, but not like Siani. But if he rakes, his offense will make up for it in terms of the downgrade defensively. And, yeah, it's a matter of, like, Nootbaar in center is less than Dylan in center. How far are you willing to downgrade the defense before you make the bump for offense? Like, those are the conversations you have to have. I think, though, that Dylan does enough in center field defensively that it's worthwhile to have him out there. Not a field general like Victor or Siani. I agree with that, Jeff. But I also think he's good enough to where you're not putting your pitching staff in a bind, right? And you're gaining potentially, if he's just league average, 8 to 10% offensively for your lineup, which is huge. That's a big jump. Shane, what's going on, man? I'm not upset with the losses, but the cold offense makes the games boring to watch. Yep. Wasn't it so refreshing on Saturday when they scored the way that they did early and often? That was impressive. Zachary said, and hopefully something they can do more often. As I hear the rain starting to come through, I really hope I don't get screwed tonight by weather. Zachary said, I thought they wanted to put Tommy in center. They do. He's just not healthy yet. Jeff doesn't think he'll come back all year. I think he will, but it's not going to be soon. Defense has been hella fun. Pitching has exceeded expectation. And those things go hand in hand too, Shane. The defense has been fun. Therefore, the pitching has succeeded, which has been helpful. This is where having Karp is tough. I'd rather have Siani and Burleson on the bench. Well, and Karp's not coming back anytime soon. He had a setback. He's going to hang out, right? We don't have to. He's going to hang out. It's going to be just fine. He can continue being a part of the team, but if he's not on the 26, then he's not, you know? Let's see here. If everybody likes the stream, Zach says we can get to Wainwright, number 50. Maybe. We're only at 36 right now, though. Jeff is worried that they're quiet together. Nato and Goldie at the same time. They can carry you when they're going, but when they're struggling at the same time, again, how many more players need to be above what their career norms are to make up for that deficit? Wilson Contreras has been great, but even still, the offense is struggling because the two guys that are supposed to be your one and your two, your best hitters, have not done it. Zachary said, is he ever going to read the comments? I'm getting to it, dadgummit, Zach. I'm just kidding you, man. No, I do. I give like a preamble for 10, 15, 20 minutes sometimes, and then I end up reading comments the rest of the show. And the latency on the YouTube stream takes a little while to get going, so that's part of it too. We'll wrap this thing up in the next 10, though. I got to get this going. Ray said, don't know if this has been asked, but will we see Fermin get an opportunity soon, maybe to give Gorman rest? He'll play, because Ollie doesn't want to leave him on the bench to not ever play at all, especially if he's getting sent out at some point, if somebody's coming back like Dylan. But it's not going to be a ton. It's going to, you know, he's an afterthought to this roster, which is unfortunate if you're Jose Fermin. But those types of guys, Siani was the same way until he, you know, Victor got sent down, so an opportunity was born out of that. Fermin just has to take the most and make the most of the opportunities when he gets them, because it's not going to happen that often. Fair or unfair, that's just where he's at. Jason thinks the Tigers will win the series. We'll see. We'll see. Yeah, Fermin hasn't done much at the major leagues, but yeah, his bat was, he was a light hitter, light hitting infielder, right? And now he's, well, okay, we saw you at Memphis. If he gets a shot, what'll that look like? We'll see. Maybe he has, as Jeff mentioned, figured out something. Could get him in there, but it's tough. They got 1-9 that they're trying to get going. I would say Herrera could stand to sit a couple games. It's looking a little bit lighter for him offensively. That might be a way to get Fermin in there. You could DH Gorman, right? You could put him in DH for a day, get him off his feet, start Fermin at second. I like that. Goldie hit .298 last year in the month of April with an .897 OPS, so I don't think the whole slow start thing holds up. It does, though. It does, because he had a .450 OPS through April 23rd of the year he won the MVP. He had a .597 OPS in 2021 at the end of April. So it's not that he was just, you know, he was just great last year in April, if that was the number, Ray. But he's had years, plenty of years where he struggled in April. Jeff is predicting 7 innings and 1 run for Mats. That would be probably his best start as a Cardinal, because I think he's only maybe gone 7 innings one time, potentially. Not 100% on that. Mason said that Siani won him over with his selfless bunting. Yeah, he's good at it, too. Jeff does not want to see Dylan slug 170, but sometimes we all think he's that. Look, I was hashtag, I did this, I did live streams last year, and I kept getting everybody on board. Hashtag everyday Dylan. Play the kid. Play the kid. Well, you know, he's got to stay healthy, too, though. Nathan says, what do you think of Mats so far? You know, I think Mats has to do a little more. He's worn down every time in the fifth inning. He's got to be able to get you through five at least, and not give up so many runs. Like, a quality start would be a godsend for Mats if they can get it tomorrow. Jason is bragging about fiber internet. We get it. You have money. I get it. Just teasing you. Kevin's going to join the YouTube membership if I dance Gangnam Style. I'm still trying to decipher what a super chat is and how that is done. Honest to God, I don't even know, but sometimes it's a chat that shows up in the live stream where people, basically it's a tip, for a monetary tip to my channel that the live stream chat allows, and I see a comment in like a super bright color, so it's like visible on my screen immediately when they do it, and so I read that first as just a thank you to like, hey, thank you for the tip, whatever. Kevin, I have no idea how you do a super chat. Somebody who's done one before, tell Kevin. Especially if he's trying to give me money, because I have no idea. I've never, you know, I don't necessarily watch a ton of YouTube outside of like work in YouTube. And so I've never actually done it myself. Maybe I should do that so I can learn how it works, I guess. Jason says Comerica Park, a good place to watch games. They still call that Comerica Park in Detroit? I don't even know. I've never been there. I've heard good things. Shane says VPN can help with online gaming. I don't know that it does with the show, though, but that's a good point. That may be something to try. Caleb, what's going on? I think the biggest issue right now, middle of the order doesn't feel like any more of a threat than 6-8. Goldie and Nato need their power back, but either way, a good series. Yeah, couldn't have said it better. They're not going to get this team's not going to go anywhere if you finish the year and Arenado's got 6 homers and Goldie's got 9. It's not going to happen for the Cardinals, guys. It's just not. You can have everything else go your way, and they're not going to win more than 80 games, if that's true. Spencer, my opinion on Contreras' base running mistake is that he just effed up and forgot how many outs there were, probably. It was a mistake. You know, hopefully one that he doesn't have happen again, but it was a blunder. There's no doubt. Coyote says the ads are brutal in the Cardinals' sphere of YouTube. He said Charlie's channel is an ad like every 3 to 5 minutes, sometimes less. Coyote said I'd pay for membership to have no ads. I don't think I can take ads off of YouTube. I think YouTube Premium is like $9 a month, $10 a month, and it'll do that for you. If you just watch me, the link will be in all my descriptions. Or just Coyote, send me a DM on Twitter. Spotify, I can get your ads off there for $5 a month. I don't know that it'll work for YouTube, though. I like that Spotify offers that because I thought maybe people would be into it. I've got a couple people signed up so far. But YouTube feels like more of a community because the one thing I wish Spotify would do is offer like a comment section, but they don't really have that offering. YouTube, we can make a community out of it. And I would love to do a Discord. That might be something that I could include in the YouTube membership is a private Discord. But also, if there's only like 4 people in it, I don't know how cool that would be for you guys. But a Discord with me would be something that I think we could have fun with. And I'm online all the time, so I would actually be mixing it up with you guys in a private Discord if that's something people would want to do. And then obviously make it big, right? Get more than just a few people in it. Make it open to anybody, but there might be like a little B-shaped lounge where that's just like the membership portion. Who knows? Clay, what's up? Just realized that was live. Tough loss. Yeah, Clay, watch some of it back. Skip the first 10 minutes because we had some issues. We had some issues with the stream. How's the weather? Aaron, dude, so I know there was tornadoes down Nixa and Springfield Way. I'm supposed to get basically railed by the weather until 2 a.m. or so, and I'm a little bit worried. I don't hear a ton. It sounds quiet. I'm taking out a headphone to hear this. I think it's raining. We have an issue at our house, though, where the basement drain in our backyard, we've got some steps that come to our split-level house, and it clogs up sometimes when there's a lot of rainwater, and it could flood my unfinished portion of the laundry room in the basement. So I have to keep an eye on that. If I leave right away, that's definitely why. Zachary is my favorite because he continues to do the math on, like, we have more watchers right now than there are likes. So what's going on with that? That's kind of funny. He said, got to respect Wilson, man. He's a dog. He should be everybody's favorite Cardinal. Not everybody, because maybe you like some other guys. There's some other guys who are worthy of having it, you know, that your favorite. Wilson Contreras is somebody that everybody should be on board with, man. With what he does and what he went through last year, that's a guy you should root for sure. John says, what's the plan if starter has to miss a month or so? Go Thompson, Libby, Palante, or do you think they call up Sim Robertson? It depends when it happens, John. Like, if it happens right now, I don't know. Maybe you go right back to Thompson. But if Palante gets a few starts under his belt, it could be Palante just to kind of... Palante could be a starter for this team in 2025. If they have a bad year and they try to trim payroll next year, they could throw Palante out there for 30 starts on a team that's only got $100 million payroll. Again, watch the video I did with Josh Jacobs if you're interested in that. But that would be like the reset, the rebuild. Mariposa thinks it would be Palante with the first chance. It just depends on how soon that would come. Hopefully it never happens that they lose somebody for a month from the rotation. I'm not sure who was in Memphis. Fermin, no, he's in St. Louis if that was being discussed. I'm going to go ahead and start now at the bottom of the chat and work up because we're getting toward the end of this thing and I want to see that I didn't miss anything. And, well, YouTube just nuked me to the bottom anyway. So, what's up, Dealing the Cards? Let's do a collab on MLB The Show once I figure out T-Mobile Internet. Yeah, for sure, guys. You guys should follow Dealing the Cards, too. They do live streams basically exclusively, I think. So it's not like we're, you know, competitors. We'll go on each other's shows and stuff like that sometimes. Show some love. But they do a lot of live streams. That's kind of their whole business model, I think. Zach, thanks, brother. Thanks for being here. Aaron said, I'm going to start getting hit with all the weather around 2 to 4 a.m. It's the worst time, dude. It's the worst time. If you're over on Illinois side, you're getting boned tonight, I'm afraid. And I am too. Not like that, though. Don't make it weird. Jeff was aggravated when they didn't get Sean Murphy in a trade, but pumped that they have Contreras. He has the fire this team has needed for years. He does, and they didn't let him use it last year. I'm going to predict it now. Jack Flaherty gives up a homer to Wilson. Wouldn't that be something? Clay says, shouldn't get bad storms, maybe some wind, rain, and a little lightning, but it's the dangerous ones are not going to be an issue for old Clay. Well, good to see. Jeff showing some love to dealing the cards, as he should. Again, I'm equal opportunity, man. I love those guys. Clay said, Discord sounds like a plan. Spencer wants me to do the membership on YouTube. I am going to do it. I just want to make sure I know what I'm going to include. So tell me the perks you want to see for a YouTube membership. It might be like a $5 tier or a $10 tier, whatever. I wouldn't expect people to spend much money on that, but maybe if there are some perks that are interesting, we could get that going. Ikta, this is a good question. Do you get the sense that if Brandon Crawford keeps being a liability, they'll DFA him to open up another bat to come up? I honestly don't know, because if you look at the way he's used right now, it's not like they're the people on Twitter that are saying, get him out of there for a pinch hitter, get him out of there for defense, put Mason in the eighth inning. They're letting Brandon Crawford play. They're letting him play through sort of the didn't have a spring training, getting his legs under him. But could this go the way of Ty Wigginton? It could, and they paid Wigginton even more. But it just, with Wigginton, you knew it from the start. It's like, this guy doesn't have it. Are we seeing that with Crawford? I don't know. Is it a big enough role to really worry about, especially when he's a respected veteran? Do a guy like that, maybe had some other opportunities to sign somewhere, and you took him, so you want to do him his due diligence. But that being said, the fact that they don't think Fairmean could just do that job is, look, it tells me that they still believe in Crawford having more in the tank. But Ikta, that's a better question for end of May or June, because if it's the case by then, yeah, you might say, hey, sunk cost, you cut ties with the guy. But I think they're going to let him play it out for a while longer yet. And speaking of Brandon Crawford, Daniel says, happy Sunday. Yeah, it's almost Monday now, though. Definitely miss Bader out there tracking in center field, but damn him for that late hit. Yeah, man, if he would have just struck out there, Cardinals could have had the sweep. Coyote says, agrees on the Ciani love. Still very excited to get Edmund back. The bunt skill is great, but the nine spot has been a wasteland this season. It has been, but listen, Edmund's not back soon. Carlson's who you're going to get back, and that might be good enough. Getting Dylan back could be good enough. Brennan should do a show on the best developed players the Cardinals have had in the draft. Would love to go back and look and see who's developed that's turned into be a good player. Yeah, that would be very fun, Jeff. And I'm going to do it. Like, there's other videos I want to do that aren't about the day-to-day grind of the Cardinals, but because they play every day, I have to do this video. I have to do B-Shafe Daily. And then it's like, I don't really have the time to do a lot of the other stuff, but I want to talk about, they're going to ask for how many $100 million for Busch Stadium renovations? Are you kidding me? Like, I want to do a video on that. I've got some stuff in the plans. I want to do some MLB The Show content. It's just about kind of getting it rolling. Landon says 5 or 10 is very fair. Normally a podcast listener, but the work you do is definitely worth 5 or 10 bucks a month. Appreciate the streams. Thanks, Landon, dude. I appreciate you, too. I'm going to try to get it happening because, again, I'm trying to make this part of my career to where it's a worthwhile stuff for me. So having a little bit of a listener support where if you can get a few dozen people even, which that... I'm not going to be presumptuous to assume that 36 people would say, yeah, I'd pay you money, because what if it's not worth it? That's totally fine. No obligation. But if I could do that, it could eventually allow me to do some different kind of content. That's the idea. Build it up. Dealing the cards is some scripted stuff, Sue. Really done. They had a scripted 2024 preview. Yeah, dude, I wish my stuff was scripted. I need a script writer. That's what I need. Good show for the All-Star break, Jeff. Yeah, it's a good idea. Hashtag Everyday Dylan, revive the offense. You never know. And Korn says, looks like you're almost done. Going to start her over now. Yeah, that's probably what we get out of here on. Mariposa says $500 million while not being willing to spend the money on players. Just sell the team. Let an owner who will spend come on in. Now, to be fair, I think their payroll is like 185 mil, top 10, top 12, something like that. But in fairness, asking for $500 million is going to be interesting if the team on the field is not performing. We saw how it went for Kansas City. The Royals and Chiefs had a joint effort, and it failed on the taxpayer vote, And that's a two-time defending world Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs. But they didn't do a very good job of selling that to taxpayers. So, and it was something they were already paying for. The tax was something they already had in there. But I'm going to do a 30 to 40 minute video at some point on the whole Cardinals asking for money for Bush. But the thing of it is, that was a report in Riverfront Times. It's not something that has actually been, they haven't come out and said, here's what we want. Here's why we want it. So it's going to be months and maybe even a year or two before we find more substantial stuff out about that. We just got to wait for when the Cardinals are ready to drop it. That was a report that they found out the info. But yeah, Discord, whatever kind of stuff. I'm going to leave you guys with this. Let me know at BSchaefer12, DM me, put it in the YouTube comments, put it wherever. What would be worth it for a YouTube membership? I'm going to leave you guys with that. You can already get ad-free on Spotify. That's available. Click the link, sign up, $5 a month. But YouTube is kind of a special community, and so I think people might be more inclined to want to join that instead. But let me know what you guys like. Let me know what you think. Put those comments in there about the Cardinals. And if they want more money, the City Connects better be good. We'll leave you with that. Good comment from Landon. We'll see those City Connects in a couple weeks. All right, that's going to do it, though, for this edition of the show, BSchaef Daily Live. Thank you guys so much for watching, for commenting, for getting involved. Jeff says $10. He would pay $10 for a playoff series win. Oh, he said, I've given the DeWitts $10 for every playoff series since they've given me the past few years. Yeah, very good. Very good. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the show. Appreciate you guys. Peace.